Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. It is awesome to be here with you today. I want to tell you that this series that I have been doing has been shaking me and challenging me. And I hope that you're excited to be here for part three of this. We're in a four-part series. This is part three, and it's called Increase. And we're talking about how we handle our resources, specifically how to handle our finances in a way that honors God, and it causes then increase to happen in our lives. And we have been looking at four really big themes or points that I've been repeating them over and over, because I want this to get planted in your hearts. I want it to get down deep in your spirit, get planted in your hearts, so that you will see increase, so that you will see a great harvest. So here are the thoughts again, and I'm just going to go over these over and over again, because I want you to get it. The first thing I talked about 2 weeks ago was less is more. Everybody say less is more. Less is more. Better one handful with tranquility. With, in other words, with peace and with joy, with contentment. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. In other words, with pain, with stress, with panic and fear, with toil and chasing after the wind. It's better. And so what are we going to do? Every week I've been giving us some action points, things that we can hopefully remember and that we can immediately begin to put into action. And when I talked about less is more, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut back, we're going to clear out, and we're going to begin to pay off. We're going to cut back on our expenses. We're going to clear out the clutter from our life, get rid of some things, throw away some things, sell some things, whatever it takes. And that makes room then in our hearts more for God to trust Him. And then we're going to pay off. We're going to pay our debts. And then last week, we talked about how stress is bad. Everybody say that. Stress is bad. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And so we know that stress is bad. How many of you understand that you've come to this realization that financial stress, that overwhelming debt is really not a good thing? God doesn't want us to be in that kind of bondage. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to ask God. God, give us self-control. God, give us understanding. And God, give us a plan. If you'll jump into that financial peace class that we're going to be offering starting next month, you're going to find ways to develop this more, ways to cut back, ways to pay off. You're going to develop ways to gain understanding about maybe things that you're even afraid to admit that you don't understand, but you're going to gain that understanding, and ultimately you're going to get a plan. It's going to help you to develop that plan. And so I really do encourage you to get involved with that. People are already signing up. Today we're going to talk about giving is good, and the next week I'm going to end this series with a message called Tomorrow Matters. But let's remember these again. Just say it out loud. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. One more time now with gusto, with energy. Let's get some energy going in this room today, because this is a great series. A lot of times when we talk about money in church, people feel like it's a funeral. Let's not be like that. Let's not be that kind of church. Let's get excited about this, and let's trust God's word. Less is more. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters. Today, we're talking about giving is good. Giving is good. Giving is good. Giving is good. Everybody say it again. Giving is good. Giving is good. In fact, look at what Jesus said in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the only verse I'm going to have you actually turn to today. Obviously, I'll have more scripture. But Jesus said this himself, and now the disciples are saying, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to what?
Give.
To give than to receive. Let's just say that out loud. Let's just get this in our heart. Let's get it planted in our hearts today so that it can bear harvest and see increase. Let's just say it out loud, all right? It is better, come on, say it with me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's try that again, because I messed up. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I just don't know that somebody's not. Okay, I really want you to get this today. Say it one more time. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how many of you actually believe that? Okay, let me highlight one of these words here, because it says it is more blessed. The word more, for just a minute. Because how many of you agree that it's not a bad thing to receive? It's not really. It's actually a good thing to receive. You get something, you receive something, and it's a good thing. It feels good when somebody gives something to you, or you are blessed in that way. But this is not saying that it's a bad thing to receive. It's just saying it's even more blessed to give than to receive. I started thinking about this, and I know this doesn't relate to everybody, because maybe your love language is a little different than mine. Some people, their love language is the giving and the receiving of gifts. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is a primary motivating love language, okay? If you're familiar with the five love languages, I don't even know how scriptural it is. But but here's the deal. I understand that this may not be everybody, but for me, I started thinking about any time in my life where I received something, where I got something, let me say it this way, where I consumed something. Something was given to me, or I went out and bought something. I could not think of a time where I was just really overwhelmed emotionally or even spiritually because I received or I got something or I consumed something. Now, please hear me. That doesn't mean I wasn't grateful. I was absolutely very much appreciative of those times where I've gotten something, or where someone's given me something, or where I consumed something. But I could not think of a time where I was just overwhelmed so emotionally that it affected me on a deep emotional level. I started thinking of examples. The time I bought my first flat screen TV, I thought I've been wanting one of these forever. Everybody else had one. That's not true. But everybody I knew had one, seemed like. And that wasn't even true. But I wanted one. I wanted a flat screen. And it was years after they came back, when they actually became affordable, or more affordable. I can remember back when they were like way expensive. But I wanted a flat screen TV. But I finally got my first flat screen TV. And I went to Sam's and bought it. I got a great deal on it, by the way. And I was excited about the deal, and I was excited about the fact that I was getting my first flat screen TV. But as I was bringing it home, there wasn't something in me that just broke down and wept. There was nothing like that whatsoever. I was glad, I was excited, but I wasn't moved. I remember one time when I was growing up as a teenager, and I wanted a specific shirt. And it was back in the day, it was cool. All the kids in school were wearing these polo shirts. Y'all remember the 80s? Okay. And the little polo shirts, and they had the little guy on the horse, you know. I mean, I know it's still around, but it was really popular back then. All the kids were wearing them. And I don't know if you remember this, we also wore the collar up. I am really dating myself. You wear this little polo shirt with the collar up. And I wanted a polo shirt. But here's the deal. My dad, he just could not. It wasn't like we were rich or poor, but it was the principle. He was like, you can get the same shirt for less than half the price, and all you're paying for is that little guy on the horse. He just couldn't bring himself to be okay with that. But I begged and I begged and I begged. Everybody else is wearing them. Everybody else has got. And finally, Christmas comes around, and there's a package for me under the tree, and I open it up, and it's one polo shirt. And I can remember even then thinking, I wanted that shirt, but I didn't break down and cry. I didn't start dancing around and doing backflips. Even though it was something that was given to me that I really wanted, I appreciated it. I wore the heck out of it. But But the reality was, it did not affect me on that deep. In other words, it wasn't like every time I put it on, I said, I'm putting on this cloak of praise and I feel so close to you, Jesus, now. It wasn't like that. But on the Amber Alert. On the flip side, though, I can think of a lot of times where I have been giving something rather than getting, rather than receiving, rather than consuming. I can think of a lot of times where I gave and it impacted me deeply. I mean, it was like I knew I was being a blessing to someone else, but it blessed me. Just the simple fact that I was at a place where I could do something to help someone else actually impacted me even on an emotional level. There's been times before where I want to tell you something. This happened just 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact. We found out about a need, about Bibles for these people in Africa. And in one Sunday, we raised more money than we needed to send to them. We were not only able to buy all the Bibles, but we were also able to actually give a little extra to that missionary who's there to help them as well. That's a big praise the Lord. Can we just say thank you, Jesus, for that? It's in those moments where I have done that, where we have given or I have given, where it's impacted me on a deeper level, even emotionally, than when I receive. How many of you can say the same thing? Come on, just say, maybe it's you've found the joy already of being able to be blessed to give rather than to receive, or more blessed to give than to receive. So I don't I got ahead of my notes here, so I'm trying to catch. But I want you to understand that this can impact you in such a way that you start getting. And I hesitate to use this word, but I can't think of a better word. It's almost addictive, but in a good way. It's almost like I'm so excited about opportunities to give now, more so than receiving. And it's because of what Jesus has said right here. It is so true. It's more than just a teaching. He's telling you, you want to be blessed in your life, learn that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I know that many of you are starting to learn this, or many of you have already learned this, and some of you are maybe on the fence about it, but maybe it was the first time you started to give in the offering, started to bring your tithes and bring your first fruits into the church, and you felt so incredibly satisfied and excited and an overwhelming sense of joy, knowing that you are obeying God and trusting Him with that tithe and then seeing His provision throughout your life. Maybe it's a time when you heard about, like what we just talked about, or maybe you heard about a ministry or a missionary organization or a missionary or something like that, where you just felt like God was telling you to give. And maybe it was even sacrificial. Maybe it was hard, but you just decided, I'm going to do it. I'm going to break through this barrier and I'm going to give. And then you feel that sudden sense of, it's almost like a release of joy that comes into your heart and into your mind. And if you've never sensed that before, you're missing out on a blessing. And I'm not just talking about emotional, but there's a spiritual aspect to all of this, because it brings us closer and closer to God. In fact, it causes us to be more and more like God, because He's a giver. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. He gave His first and He gave His best. Maybe it was helping a friend out, or maybe even just helping a stranger out. Someone who you found out there was a need and you were able to help. Maybe even if at a personal sacrifice to yourself. But you were able to do it, and it was worth it for the joy and the blessing that you received in return. It's true, there is a greater blessing in giving than receiving. I was thinking of different stories, and I wanted to have a few personal, but I also wanted to hear from some other people during this series as well. And so we're going to have a testimony here at the end. But I remember one of the times that was more recent, I'm kind of weird. I only get my hair cut once a month, usually. So if you catch me towards the end of the month, I usually look kind of raggedy. But then the month turns over and I'm clean again. But I hardly ever go to the same place. I'll just be thinking I need a haircut and I'm driving and there's a Sports Clips, what are the places called? Supercuts, you know. I'm not too fancy. But I had gone to this Sports Clips place, and this lady had cut my hair. And I look at this as an opportunity to also, you know, share my faith. That's an opportunity for me to be with someone else outside of the church, even if it's for a short 30 minutes, where I have more or less a captive audience. Or maybe I'm the captive in that case. But it's an opportunity just to share Jesus with someone. And so I'm talking with this girl and this lady, and she's cutting my hair, and I just asked her. I said, "Now, is this something you've always wanted to do? Isn't it amazing that most people who are cutting hair, this is not really what they ever plan to do, and it's not really what they hope to do for the rest of their life? It's kind of like when you go to Denny's. Nobody ever plans to go to Denny's. Denny's is not some place you plan to go. It's just some place you end up, you know." And sometimes this is, I think for a lot of people who cut hair, it's not something they plan to do someplace. That was not the case with this girl. She said, "I have wanted to do this my whole life. In fact, I have a dream. I want to open my own salon someday." And at the time that I was talking with her, I had been reading a book by Dave Ramsey, who also developed Financial Peace University, which is the class that we're offering next month. But this book was on more on leadership development and on starting a business and how to have a strong, healthy business that also honors God. And the book's called Entre Leadership. It's like entrepreneur, but entre leadership. And I had just finished this book, and I told her about it. I said, if that's what you want to do, and here's the thing I love about Dave Ramsey. He always peppers in the gospel. He always talks about the Word of God and how this lines up. These principles are actually, we learn these principles from Jesus, from God's Word. And so I just said, I just read a book that would help you. If you really are serious about opening your business, this is something that would help you. And she said, "Well, I have to look into it." And finish my haircut, and I go to give her to pay, and then I was going to give her a tip, and I realized I didn't have enough cash. I had not planned ahead well enough, because I don't plan to get my haircut. I just think I need a haircut. There's a place, you know. So I told her, I said, "Listen, I'm so sorry." I said, "I don't want to put this on my card because we're trying to be debt-free." I said, "I need to go get to find an ATM. I need to get some cash, and I'll bring a tip back to you." And I could see the look on her like, "Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, right." I said, no, really, really, I will. She didn't say it, but I could just tell. She said, "Okay." And so I thought, I need to go the extra mile. I need to, because I've already told her, "Hey, I'm the pastor of this church. You should come check us out sometime. Hey, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. Can I tell you the story about Jesus? By the way, you ought to read this book. It's a Christian book, yeah, but it's Prince." Yeah, I wanted her to know I was a man of my word. And so I went and I got, instead of the tip that I would have given her, I decided to give her, to really bless her. I wanted to give. I wanted, because I know it's more blessed to give than to receive. But in addition to a much larger tip, I went and I got that book for her. And I put the tip in the book, and I brought it back to her, and she wasn't there. She had taken her break. So I just left it with the people there. So this goes to, I can't remember her name now, but anyway, it goes to her. And all right, so it was... Already, there's this excitement in me. Already, there's this emotional buildup. I don't know what's going to come of this. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? I'm blessed because I gave. It's more blessed to give than to receive. A few months go by, and I need a haircut again. It seems to happen about every month. And I thought, I had not gone back to that place in a couple of months. And so I went back there, and she's there. But here's what she's doing. She's there, and she's moving real slow. And I just asked her, I said, what's wrong? What happened to you? And she's about to cut my hair, and she said, well, this is actually my first week back. I had a terrible car accident. And it was really actually touch and go there for a little while because it really, she had been injured bad. And I said, well, I said, can I pray for you? And she said, absolutely, you can pray for me. She said, but you know, if you'd asked me that question 3 months before, she said, I probably would not have said yes. She said, I took that book and I read it. And I thought it was great, except all the Bible and Jesus stuff. She said, but then I had this car accident. And she said, all I could remember was the Bible and the Jesus stuff that I read in that book. And she said, I started going to church again. I've got my family going. She's a single mother. She said, I've got my daughter going now. And my mother has started going because she lives with her mother. So my mother started going with me. And she says, because you put that book in my hand and I want to thank you. And yes, please pray for me. And she said, and I'm probably not going to be here much longer because I'm planning on moving out and starting my own business. Now, can I just tell you the excitement that welled up inside of me? Because I had something to do with that. I played a little part in helping this girl, and all I did was I gave because it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's give God praise. Come on for His word. What's the principle? Giving is good. Say it with me again. Say it. Giving is good. It is so good. I love the teaching of Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:11. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Imagine people like that barber, people thanking God because God's people have been generous. People thanking God because God's people are generous. How many of you know this today? How many of you know that giving is good? How many of you believe that giving is good? How many believe these words of Jesus that giving is good? All right, if you believe it, and I believe that you do, but why don't we do it more often? Why don't we do it more often? Why, if we say we believe it, why don't we do this more often? Think about it. We believe the Bible, and if we believe the words of Jesus, and He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why do we sometimes have a hard time doing this? I think there's a few reasons, and this is not my points today, but one reason maybe is because you just don't feel like you have enough. You may say, I'd like to give, I'd like to be a blessing, but I just don't have enough. It's my heart to give, my heart's in the right place, but we just don't think we have the ability to give right now. Or to give more. Another reason is because we actually have seen this message abused. We've seen messages about giving in the church and in evangelism. We've often seen messages like this abused. And I don't want to take shots, cheap shots, at any one person in particular, but you know the type. You've probably seen them on TV before. Slick hair, shiny suit, saying, if you'll give $100 to my ministry today, it's always today. Don't miss out on it today. If you'll give today to my ministry $100, tomorrow you're going to get $1,000 back. We've seen that kind of abuse. And that is just an erroneous teaching. We don't teach here give to get. But guess what? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be more blessed to give than to receive. But there is abuse that happens like that. And so sometimes people say, well, I just don't want to hear about this again. Here's another preacher, a name it and claim it preacher. Enough's enough. But and so we don't do it because there's been abuses to this. But I think the third reason is probably the primary reason. Excuse me. And the third reason is that many people have a poverty mentality rather than an abundance mentality. It's this idea that people give to me. I'm not a person who gives to someone else. I, I, I'm used to people giving to me, and I'm even dependent upon the generosity of others. Or it's the mentality that says, you know, if I give something away, there may not be enough left for the needs that I have in my life. And really at the heart of this is fear and insecurity. It's a poverty mentality rather than an abundance mentality. And it's based out of fear and insecurity. The right mentality to have is one that is full of faith, that's trusting in God. He says, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. It's trusting when he says that we are blessed to be a blessing and we serve an abundant God. God has it all and he loves his children. And when we trust him in this area that seems so crazy and so counter our culture and so abnormal sometimes, but when we trust that we are blessed to be a blessing and that when we give, God is a good God and he's a God of abundance. And that will not go unnoticed. He's a father who takes care of his children because he is a loving father. Listen, whenever you give, you are always a blessing to someone else. And you will always be blessed by someone else, and that someone else is God. I want you to write this down. Whenever you give, you are always a blessing, and you are always blessed. Every time you give, you are going to be a blessing to someone else, but you will be blessed. And the biggest blessing is not some sort of a 100-fold return or a 10-fold return. The biggest blessing is that knowing again, that inner satisfaction of knowing, that joy of knowing that you have just honored God with your possessions and you have helped someone else and maybe shown a light into their life. But whenever you give to someone else, you are being a blessing to them and you will also be blessed. Now, that doesn't mean that if you give 100, you'll get 1,000 back tomorrow, okay? I'm sorry, it doesn't always work that way. In fact, sometimes I heard a story this morning about this where someone gave something and they got tenfold back the very next week. I've got a story like that. I had just finished high school. I was starting my first year of college, about to start my first year of college. And I had just given my life to the Lord and I had moved here to the Metroplex, and I had moved in with my uncle and started going to his church, and every week they had a little bit of a teaching on giving during the offering time, and I never paid attention because I never had money. But now all of a sudden I had my first real job out of college. I mean, I had jobs in high school too, but I wasn't a believer then. I never went to church. But now here I am. I've got this job at the church. I got a job at the church as a janitor. I clean the bathrooms and baptistries. And I was not making a lot of money at all, but I didn't have a lot of bills. In fact, I don't think I had any bills. And so I just moved here from literally the backwoods of East Texas. When I say the backwoods, most people think of the little town I lived in as the country. I lived outside of town in the country. So I literally, you know, we imported our sticks. We lived in sticks. Anyway, bottom line was I had moved to the Metroplex and I'm looking around at these people that I'm now calling family at this church. And they talk different. They dress different. Their pace of life was so much different. And I looked at what I had, a couple of t-shirts, blue jeans, and tennis shoes. And I just wasn't fitting in. Again, this is back in the 80s when everybody was dressing up in double-breasted suits and stuff, you know. And I just wasn't fitting in. And so I couldn't wait to get my first paycheck because I wanted to go shopping. And I wanted to find something to kind of help me fit into this new culture that I was embracing. And I start hearing this message about giving and about tithing. And I just tell you, I want to give you these principles today, okay? I want to give you these principles because I want you to understand this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do, because giving is good, is first thing that we're going to do is we're going to start tithing. And so you're looking at me today saying, I didn't agree to this. I encourage you, if you want to see increase in your life, if you want to understand that it's more blessed to give than to receive, then we need to, number one, we need to trust God with the tithe. Trust God with the tithe. And so here I am, a young man, hearing this message really for the first time, and I don't even know what that means. I don't know what tithe means. I hear it almost every Sunday, and I don't know what it means. And so finally, I went to my aunt, and I said, every Sunday he talks about this thing called the tithe. And I understand it has to do something with the offering, but what does, and they didn't pass plates or bags in that church, they passed buckets, like Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. And I said, every time the bucket passes by, I would put something in. I said, but I don't know if that's the tithe. Is that the tithe? And she explained to me. She said, that's an ancient Hebrew word that literally means 10%. 10%. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant. Because I was from the backwoods of East Texas. I was terrible with numbers. I'm still not very good with it today. I said, but how do you figure 10%? And she said, oh, it's easy. You just take your paycheck, you round it up and to that nearest zero number, and if it's 200, you give 20. If it's 100, you give 10. If it's 1,000, you give 100. That's 10%. I said, well, why do I round up? Why don't I round down? And she said, well, do you want a rounded up blessing or a rounded down blessing? And I said, well, I don't know. I guess rounded up. I said, I don't know. She said, that's not the point. She said, the point is, do you trust God with the tithe? It was crazy to me. It was so crazy to me to give away 10%. It seemed like it, and for so many people, it seems so crazy to them. I'll just tell you the rest of the story. I decided, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust God, because she told me, she said, it's really not the point of the blessing, of if God's going to bless you. She said, really, where's your heart? Do you trust God? Where is your heart? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you trust him? And so I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust God. And for the first time in my life, I had given in the offering before, but for the first time, I intentionally said, I'm going to start giving 10%. And it wasn't very much at the time, but it was a big deal to me. And I remember for the first time putting that offering in there and thinking, I just obeyed God. I'm trusting him with my life. And I put it in, and at that moment, I was more blessed to have given than to receive. But the rest of the story, I still needed clothes. I still look like Hillbilly Hick from me, you know. and that week, and it doesn't happen. I wish it happened like this all the time. I wish that you saw an immediate turnaround, okay? That week, I get a call from my dad, and he says, ask me how I'm doing. I told him, fine. He said, well, I'm going to come up and see you before college starts. And I said, great, come on. And he comes up, and we spend a little time together for breakfast that morning, a late breakfast. And then he says, well, now, y'all got to understand, none of this is my dad, okay? I mean, he will call me occasionally, but how many times has he ever come to visit? Once in 21 years. One time. I'm not trying to say that to in any way dishonor him, because, you know, I feel like it's more my responsibility to go see him. But anyway, one time. So this is not my dad, but he calls me and says, I'm going to come see you. He comes up, we go to breakfast, and then afterwards he says, now this is really not my dad at all. He says, now I'm going to take you shopping for clothes. I said, what? He said, yeah, you're starting college. You're probably going to need some new clothes. Now remember, this is the guy that wouldn't buy me a polo shirt. And all of a sudden, he's saying, we're going shopping. And he took me to the mall, and I mean, he just decked me out. I mean, I don't know how to say it other than a whole new wardrobe, you know? And he let me get what I wanted, which was weird, you know? And And you know, acid wash jeans. Sure, Dad, I can buy the acid wash jeans. Remember acid wash jeans back in the 80s? Because he had a fit about that. Why are you going to get old-looking jeans when you get the new ones and wear them out, you know? But he let me get the things, and I can remember. That was fun to receive. But you know what? I thought back, and I said, I just gave my tithe, and God returned that sevenfold. And so I want you to understand, we don't give to get, but there is a principle here that we need to trust God with the tithe. Let me give you some scriptures on this today. This is Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belong to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy." The tithe is 10%, and it belongs to God. So when you whatever the increase is in your life, you're to bring it to God. Now, for some people, they say, what does that mean? Does that mean that I just take 10% and I throw it up into the air and let God take it? Hope it gets to him? No, God also gave us instructions for what this means. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, that really complements that verse in Leviticus, it says, bring the whole tithe. Everybody say whole. Whole tithe. Not some of it, but the whole tithe. Not give some here and some there, but it says bring the whole tithe. Where do we bring it? It says into the storehouse. Now, what's the storehouse? Well, he's about to answer that question as well. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. My house. So the storehouse is actually God's house. But what does that mean? It means, does that mean that God's hungry and he needs 10% so that he can eat? And so somehow, does heaven have an address I can send this to? No, that's ridiculous. And we all know this universally. All scholars agree, and Scripture backs this up multiple times, time and time again. The storehouse is referring to the local church. Where you are fed, that's where you bring your tithes to. And you're not bringing it to me, you're bringing it to God. You're bringing it into the storehouse. You're bringing it into his house. And look at the rest of this verse. Remember that this is God talking. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. This is the only time in Scripture we are permitted to test God in anything. Why? Because I believe God knew that this sounds crazy. That is going to freak some people out. It sounds wasteful to give up 10% to bring it to the church, but it's not a waste when you understand the truth that is more blessed to give than to receive. And by the way, God says, test me. He said, and see that I won't return that blessing into your life. You're going to be blessed because you bless someone else, and God is going to bless us as well. If we don't believe it, he says, test me. Test me in this. Test me in this. And so I didn't even know I was doing that at the time, that that's what I was doing, was testing God. But I see over and over again, my life is a testimony of this. So the first thing we're going to do, giving is good, and the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and trust God with the tithe. The second thing that we're going to do is this. Plan your generosity. Everybody say plan.
Plan.
Plan your giving. Plan your generosity. Last week I told you to begin praying for God to give you a plan. In the process of establishing that plan to get out of debt, to become debt-free, also begin to plan your generosity. You would say, well, wait a minute. I thought we were trying to get debt-free. Oh, we will. We will. But listen, in the middle of that, plan also your generosity. Why? Because this is the supernatural element. We can, a lot of these other things we can kind of do in the natural. If we will use self-control and if we will get that plan, if we'll work that plan, we can do a lot of this stuff in the natural. But this is that supernatural element where we trust God with something that doesn't seem to make sense, but we obey and trust His word and we begin to plan our generosity. Now, I'm not talking about just the tithe. I'm talking about where God calls you to give and to help someone else. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's somebody that's another ministry, a missionary organization, or something like that. But plan your generosity. One of the ways we do this, we know that every year in April, there's going to be this Red Light Rescue Banquet that we support with Sower of Seeds. And these girls that have been sold into human trafficking are rescued and they are rehabilitated. We know every year we're going to go to that banquet and we know every year we're going to give. And so, you know what we do? We just plan it now. We just make it part of our budget and we plan. So what we're going to do is we're going to trust God with the tithe, and we're also going to plan. Isaiah 32:8 says, "But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity." So I want to encourage you, stand firm in your generosity and plan to be generous. Just say it out loud. Maybe this, you don't even know this is true about you. You want it to be true about you, maybe. But you don't know if it's true about you, but let's just speak those things that maybe are not as though they were. Just say this: I'm a generous person.
I'm a generous person.
Now say, I'm an extravagant, generous person. Okay. Plan to give. And then number three, start being generous now. We're going to trust God with a tithe. We're going to plan our generosity. And can I just encourage you, start being generous now, right now, right now. I thought you said, Keith, we got to make a plan, and that doesn't sound like a very well thought out thing. I absolutely plan your generosity, but good intentions never really amounted to anything in and of themselves. You've got to begin to put it in action. So start where you're at. You say, well, maybe I should wait until I get out of debt, or maybe I should wait till I'm a better place. Listen, I want to encourage you. Don't wait. Yes, start where you're at. Don't hurt yourself, but listen to God. Let His Spirit lead you, but step out in faith and become a generous person now. Start today. Make a decision to do it now. Philemon 1:8. Verse 6 says, "And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ." Think of all the good things we have in Christ. Our only reasonable response should be that we're going to give Him our all. You see, this is a spiritual thing. I'm going to ask Jennifer to come up and close today. Actually, I'm going to come back up and say a few closing remarks, but y'all welcome the loveliest lady in the land as she comes, because I want y'all to hear some testimony from not just me today. And I didn't plan on doing this with a microphone, Andy, so hey, can we use one of these back here?
Yeah.
All right. Orange.
Sometimes I'm loud, but not that loud usually. Well, good morning. So Keith and I were talking about his message this week, and he just asked if I could kind of think of a couple of things. Actually, I'm going to take these glasses off real quick because I can't see y'all with all these lights. He just asked if I would kind of just share a couple of stories just from our personal life. He's mentioned a couple of times in this series that when we were young marrieds, we took a class that our church offered, the Crown Financial class, and that's also the class that we offer here at the church as well. When we started the class, when we approached the class, I kind of thought that I knew one of the lessons was going to be on giving. And I really kind of thought that I had a pretty good handle on giving. Keith and I both had been tithers before we got married. So it was kind of a non-negotiable that when we got married, we were going to continue to be givers. But so this year I got glasses because this is 40, apparently. This is what happens. I had not realized that for a really long time that I had been squinting every time that I needed to concentrate on something, and I could kind of see, like, right now I can see that you are here, but I cannot really quite see your faces or definition or detail on your face. But when I actually got my glasses and I put them on when there's not lights glaring in my face, I was like, oh my gosh, you have eyebrows on your face. That's amazing. You know, that's kind of how this class was for me when we got to the lesson on giving. We got to it, and I realized that I had approached giving from the thought of 10% belongs to the Lord. And what I realized in that class was it's actually not the 10% that belongs to the Lord, but it's 100% of all of my possessions and all of my finances. And the reason that that was really a revelation to me and a life-changing thing was it all of a sudden took giving from a once a week or twice a month act of worship to my everyday life. I realized I have a lot of things in my life that actually I can give to the Lord on a regular basis. For us, home is a really important value. Home is a really happy place. It's a very, it's a place of restoration and joy for us. And so I realized as a young married lady in a little tiny apartment, I realized, God, I could use my apartment for your glory. I could invite teenagers to come to my little bitty apartment and I could see you restore their lives just through the act of opening my home. I realized that I love to cook. And so having people around our table, sharing our groceries, was actually an act of giving and an act of worship. And I could see God build bridges into people's lives just through an ordinary act like that. So I just want to encourage you that maybe that's not your thing. Maybe your house is not your thing or cooking for people, but maybe like you're a teacher and every summer your closets are packed full of educational materials that maybe God's calling you to find a family that needs to catch their kids up in school over the summer. Maybe God's calling you to use those things for that. Maybe you like to fix things and you have all the tools to fix stuff. And God's calling you to build a bridge to somebody who needs him by just going to their house and offering to fix something. And God will give you an opportunity to share the gospel just as you build that bridge in a very natural way. So it takes natural things and turns them into supernatural when we realize God really does own it all. That's the first thing that I wanted to share. The second story that I want to share just real quick, Keith had just mentioned SOS International, who I actually work for. 10 years ago, I did not work for SOS. We had just kind of made an acquaintance with them. 10 years ago, we lived in Lubbock. I was a mommy of two little girls. We were youth pastors. I had nothing in my mind that ever said we were going to live in Dallas, that I was ever going to be a part of their organization. But I was having a very normal day at our house. I was it was nap time. I was actually holding Annie, sleeping in my arms, and I was multitasking, reading my emails. And I got an email from my friend Christy, who was actually in Mumbai, India at the time. And she wrote me this email, and she started telling me about human trafficking. And she started to describe that she was sitting in a coffee shop, and she was looking at a building that had bars on the windows. And inside of the building, there were cages. And inside of those cages were women and little girls. And that building was full of hundreds of women like that. And this district that she was in actually had up to 60,000 women in it. That was one of the most shocking moments of my life. I remember closing the computer, and I remember sitting there looking at my little Annie asleep in my arms, and I thought, God, if that were my little girl, what would I do? What would I do to rescue her? And I thought, I would do anything. I would give anything. I would go anywhere. I would do anything to set her free. And in that moment, it was not one of those... Y'all, I don't even know if I had prayed that day, just to be really quite honest with you. I had not come out of a worship service. I had not just had this big spiritual moment. It was a normal, everyday moment. And I heard the heart of God say, as much as you would do anything to rescue those your girls, I would do anything to rescue my girls, too. And I felt the invitation of the Lord at that moment to enter into this issue. And I remember praying this prayer. It was a really simple prayer. Some of you guys have heard me tell this story before, but I just said, Lord, I am a little mama from Lubbock, Texas. We're in youth ministry in Lubbock. That seems as far from India as you could possibly get. I have $25 in our budget that I could give. That seems like such a small amount. I have no idea, God, what you could do with either one of those things. But God, if you will let me, I will use my voice. And God, if you will take this $25, I will give it. I will obey you if you will just keep offering these opportunities to me. So about 2 weeks later, SOS actually had a screening for their documentary film called Good Night, Red Light. I went to it, kind of got a little bit more education on the issue. And at the very end, they had the offering, and I put my $25 in. I had no idea that night would set in motion the key to unlocking a lot of the purpose that's in my life. I had no idea that a tiny act of obedience like that would result in today, you know, our church partners with SOS on a regular basis. I had no, last year, actually, I was telling that story for a film that we were doing for Evening of Hope, and it hit me how only God can take little tiny steps of obedience from normal people and turn it into something that you couldn't imagine. And I was thinking, I get to actually, 10 years later, I get to plan an event that gathers over 1,000 people in the Dallas area to impart to them the heart of this issue, that they can be a part of the solution. And we raised over $500,000 last year. Y'all, only God can do that. So what I want to say to you is this. Sometimes the enemy would come to us and say, my voice is insignificant, my gifts don't matter, and the money that I have to give it's too little. I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, whenever you hear the Holy Spirit say, that's an area to give into, man, do it. Obey, because you have no idea how God can unlock purpose in your life by just simple steps of obedience. So just want to encourage y'all with that.
Oh, I was just going to help you down, but I tell you what, no, I like you. Please stay up here. So I want everybody to stand up today. You can close your Bibles, close your book. We're over time, and so I hope that something has been sparked inside of you that maybe changes your opinion about these issues. This is not something that I'm trying to get from you. It's really something that God wants to give to you. He wants to bless your life. And that does not always mean that, again, you give $100 and you're going to get $1,000 back or anything like that. What it means is that it's going to open a door for something more. And that's exactly what I've been talking about, what Jennifer was talking about. It opened a door for something more, just her small little act of obedience to give that $25. And I don't even know if she told me about it, you know. No, I'm sure you did. but here's the deal. That small little act opened a door for incredible blessing. And that hasn't necessarily equated to a financial blessing in Jennifer and my life as much as it has. We've seen so many more girls. We've seen such a difference made in these young girls' lives. But honestly, God continues to bless us as well. There's joy. There's peace. There's an excitement in knowing that we've obeyed God in our giving. But the need never goes unmet as well. God continues to take care of us. He knows, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, He knows what you have need of. And when you just seek first the kingdom. And so like my aunt said, where is your heart on this issue?